巨実を切り裂いて想定を仰いで飛び立ったとこしへ後悔もいやもなく必然必然なるべくしてなる未来だそれゆえ涙の川を込み出して育成そうさよなら行かざるを得ない何を失ったとて忘れない悔しさも屈辱も胸に飾って虚実を切り裂いて未来へ追っかけ
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Fanboy Comics Podcast. Of course, I am your host, Clay, and today I am finally actually recording this on time slash early, which I haven't done in quite some time. But I had a really good time reading all of these chapters that we're going to be talking about today, so I was really pumped about waking up and recording. Now, we're going to be talking about Hard-Boiled Cop and Dolphin, Ayakashi Triangle, My Hero Academia, Phantom Seer, and Kaiju Number 8. Now, I don't know why I was so, you know, messing up on all those titles. My brain isn't fully functioning, but I am excited about talking about these because they had some really good moments, some really fun moments, some very, like, oh my god moments. Like, it's so, so fun reading these chapters every single week and, of course, talking about them. Now, I know people like Jim don't appreciate Hard-Boiled Cop and Dolphin, and I will say it's a little bit of a slower chapter this week. Nothing really happens, but it was a funny moment in the middle there, and I really want to talk about it with you guys. Phantom Seer is very, very interesting. A new development has occurred. Kaiju Number 8, we get Kafka finally back into the kaiju form. You know, that's something that I've always wanted to see, and I can't wait to see, like, a bigger fight happening there. My Hero Academia, the last page, oh my god. And Ayakashi Triangle, of course, is always up with its shenanigans. So let's go ahead and get started. Now, I do want to say thank you guys for making it possible for me to do this podcast. I mean, it is you guys who are listening that give me the motivation to record every single week, or at least every other week. I think I will start recording every week now. But we reached our goal of 10 listeners. We are now sitting at 15. Last episode did not get as many listens, but the one before that got 20. Amazing. And I know that sounds really mediocre compared to, I guess, like, every other podcast that I'm a part of, just because of the people that are attached to it, which I also think they give me the platform to belt out to the air what I love, which is this podcast talking about manga. You know, that's this whole thing started with me wanting to catch up on Marvel comics that I never had read before, and some of the DC stuff that I had never read before. And, you know, with the current state of how Marvel and DC are currently, it was putting a bad taste in my mouth. And so I jumped onto this, you know, weird website. That sounds very sketch. No, this very lovable website called Viz Media/Shonen Jump. Whichever one you want to look at. When I record, I look at the Viz Media Shonen Jump browser. But on a daily, I look at the Shonen Jump app on the phone. For $1.99, this is not sponsored, by the way, but for $1.99, you can literally read everything that's on there. And it's totally worth it. I promise, totally worth it. But with that, guys, I'd like, again, thank you. And let's go ahead and jump into the very first chapter, which is Hard-Boiled Cop and Dolphin, Chapter 21. All right. So, Chapter 21, this was fun. You know, we left off with Shark, Dolphin, and, Chico not having really a home to call their own. They were all out of a house, and so they are now basically going to be living in this mansion. It was originally a resort hotel, but business dried up, and basically the person who owns it was just like, yeah, you know, they could stay here. So they're looking around. They see this guy, this guy named Nakajima. He is the housekeeper or the caretaker of the house. And so he's showing them around. And there's like 9 rooms that have like 18-foot ceilings. And right, is it 9 or something crazy like that? It connects like so many different rooms. And they're all under, you know, the 18-foot ceiling, the kitchen, living room, dining room, all this stuff. Shark and Dolphin are like they can't take their freaking jaw off the floor. It is amazing to them. And Chaco notices this little boy and he's like, hey, come here for a second. Come here. And Shark notices that she's gone, but doesn't really like notice. He's like, okay, well, I'm just going to continue this tour. And it's so adorable. This little kid is like, hey, so let's go play. You know, the adults are talking. I'm a kid. You're a kid. Let's play. And he's like, so how old are you? I'm 5. And she's like, I'm 4. And he goes, oh, what's your name and how old are you? And she says, I'm Chaco and I'm 4. And he says, Chaco, that's a dumb name. And your clothes are all dirty. And right there at that moment, I wanted to punch this little kid in the freaking face. I don't care how old he is. You don't talk to Chaco like that. No, it's not right. It's not okay. And this, like, I knew at that moment that this kid was going to be trouble. And he says, I could show you something really interesting if you want. And she's like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, yes, let's go see this. And so again, we continue the tour. And there's a library, there's a second living room, there's a loft area. And like Dolphin is just like, he's like completely like into it. He has basically died and gone to heaven. And Shark is like, okay, this is just a little too weird. Like, what's the catch? What's going on? And we catch up with the kids. And the 5-year-old, the boy, his name is Shun. Shun is, you know, telling Chaco, like, hey, come down here. Come down here and hang out with me. And it's a basement. And she, like, it looks creepy. It's, like, super dark. He doesn't even have the lights on when he's, like, all the way down there. He's like, and she's like, okay, I can do this. You know what? How about this? I will go get Shark and we'll go down together. And she like turns, slips, rolls all the way down the stairs. And she goes, whew, that was close. I almost fell all the way down. And that's when she notices that she did. And this bitch, sorry for the cursing, but this bitch closes the door on her and says, this isn't a place where it's okay for poor people to live. Poor people like you. And I was like, no. Oh my God. Like, what's going on? Like, how? Why? Why would this dude do this to her? She's so innocent. She's so playful. She is like, why would you do this to her? And so, again, continuing the tour, we see Dolphin again. They are now outside in the patio area, and Shark asks again, like, what is the catch? What is going on? And this dude, he says, doesn't it strike you more than you deserve? How much do you make in a year? I expect that even if you put both of your salaries together, it still wouldn't be enough to afford a single night in this house. And Shark's like, okay, whatever. Where's the smoking area? And then again, Chaco is freaking out in the dark. She is like banging on the door. She's asking for Shark and for Dolphin. She's asking to let for somebody to let her out. And all of a sudden, she hears something. And she says, is somebody there? And she's saying to herself, like, oh, I'll be fine, I'll be fine, I'll be fine. And all of a sudden, a flicker of light comes on. It's a lighter. And this, I love this panel because it looks so creepy. It's Shark, but it doesn't look like Shark. It just looks like very, very creepy. She's freaking out. And he's like, whoa, whoa, like, Chaco, like, calm down, calm down. It's just me. She starts to cry. She's like hugging him. And she's like, how did you get in here? Like, the door was closed. And he's like, oh, well, this happened. And the guy giving the tour, like, showed him to the quote-unquote smoking area, told him to stand in a specific spot, and then dropped him down, like, a secret slide thing. And so now they're both stuck in, like, what I would assume they're both stuck in this closet. And you know, he even asks her, like, what are you doing here? And, you know, it's implied that she shares the story of this Shun kid. And he says, is that what he said to you, that little boy? And she's like, yeah, he said my clothes were floppy and dirty. And he says, what you're feeling right now isn't sadness, it's frustration. Let's go set this kid straight. Tell him that having money or not doesn't matter. It's the people you look down on others that are the real sordid ones. And she's like, sordid? What does that mean? And he's like, ah, sordid. It means sleazy and doing bad things for selfish reasons. And he's like, it's time for payback. And she's like, wait, we're allowed to do that? And it says next chapter is December 6th. So that will be next week. For a split second, I thought that was like in 2 weeks. But no. So Shark and Chaco, I love like the roughness of Shark along with Chaco's imagination. I can only imagine what they're going to be getting into in order to get their revenge. And of course, Dolphin will have no idea what's going on. I'm going to love it. I love this book. I know it may not be everybody's cup of tea, but this is the book that is full of the quirkiness that a manga should, and it can get away with it. So I absolutely love this title. Nobody can tell me otherwise. It is so great. But let's go ahead and again jump into Ayakashi Triangle, and I believe we are on chapter 23. Alright, so Ayakashi Triangle, chapter 23. This one was a little fun. Of course, there's always the lewd shenanigans, and that's exactly what we start off on. We see Suzu is giving the Ayakashi King, what is his name? Shirogen. Shirogen, a bath, and of course she had to be in the bath with him, and her brother is outside of the shower, and he's like, oh, well, Suzu is always talking to herself, Suzu is talking to herself a lot these days. And we see a little side note that normal people cannot hear Ayakashi. And so we see Matsuri with now her grandfather, because she is a girl again. And he makes an offside comment like, oh, now that she's a girl, what does he say? if you don't turn back into a boy soon, she might wash you too. And Matsuri's like, even if we were both, even if we are both girls, that wouldn't even happen. That's weird. And that plays off until later. Just, you know, hold that in your mind real quick. Don't think about it too much, you perverts. But anyway, we see a jump in time. They're back at school again, and we see Suzu and Matsuri's two friends, Yayo and Lu. Of course, with everything that had just happened with the Jinyo and the Ayakashis and like all of that stuff, the school basically thought that Suzu and Matsuri had skipped class. So, you know, they're kind of in trouble, but that doesn't really amount to anything because we quickly jump again to Suzu. I guess they're at their house. I'm not entirely sure. It doesn't really spell it out all that well. But Suzu is like just sitting on what I would think is a porch or like their front yard, and all of these Ayakashis are just like celebrating and like they're having fun because of course Suzu is the new Ayakashi king, and so Matsuri is like freaking out. They're like, oh my god, they've already accepted her as the king in one night. That's so crazy. And I want to see, and I am going to really quickly, and I know this is going to annoy so many people, but crap, what is his name? I am trying to find the painter's name. I always forget his name. His name is, oh my gosh, they don't even have his name. I can't remember the painter's name. But of course, we all know that the painter is also an Ayakashi. But he is holding Shirogen. And he's basically saying that he wanted to avoid a situation where there was no king for too long. So that's why he came up with the meeting. And he's saying, like, hey, you know, many of these Ayakashi are weak. They need a leader to resolve things, conflicts, all of that jazz. And we hear a Ayakashi, like, say, like, I don't need her at all. And this is, like, it's like this little teapot, but it's a panda. It's, like, a really weird, like, amalgam of things. And basically, we find out that at one point in time, he was really good friends with Suzu. But Matsuri, back when he was a boy, had at one point shooed them all away because he thought that every Ayakashi was dangerous. Of course, he has learned now, but this Ayakashi in particular has a steamy vision jutsu that he is using on Matsuri, and now Matsuri is basically visualizing Suzu giving her a bath. They're both naked. It's like very, very steamy, very spicy. And this is just something that, of course, you would expect from the Ayakashi Triangle. Like, this is just like what it thrives on. Good looking art, I will say. But basically, we find out that Matsuri isn't trying to escape the jutsu. She is actually enduring it. She is not wanting to hurt anybody. And so in order to do this, this Ayakashi, Dano or Dunu, or what does he call himself? He says Dano. He's basically saying that he is unable to control the jutsu that he just used. And even Shirogen's like, you should never use a jutsu that you haven't mastered. And now if he uses this jutsu for too long, he will disappear. All of his energy will go away. And Suzu is able to use this thing called the cloning Ayakashi Amokage. And she is able to use an Ayakashi body double to go through the jutsu and tell Matsuri, like, hey, your apology worked. Like, you can break through. It's fine. And so Matsuri does. Everybody says, you know, their thanks and I forgive yous and all of that stuff. And at the very end, Suzu's like, so what were you like? What vision did you see at all? And Matsuri's like, it's so nerve wracking. I can't even say, because, of course, they're still very coy with the idea of letting their feelings out. So it was fun. I think seeing that Suzu actually has like a bigger and greater power than most realize is really cool. I love that body double panel. It looks really, really cool. I actually have a post on my Instagram right now having my favorite panels of the week with all the books that we are currently talking about. So go check that out when you can. But yeah, I love this. I'm still waiting for the English volume to come out for volume one, so I can buy that. But yeah, I'm loving this as well. I'm waiting to see what this whole thing entails of her being the new king, and, you know, what greater threat is gonna, you know, cause the next ruckus. I'm really enjoying this. And even Shirogane at the very end seems to be like, because he was what seemed like the most shocked that she had such great power. So I'm wanting to see if, you know, what his thoughts are for what's to come next. But let's go ahead and jump into My Hero Academia chapter 292 right now. All right. So My Hero Academia chapter 292. Sorry. This, we see, of course, we saw the debut of Genus, or Best Genus, at the end of last issue. Seeing him here in all of his glory, like the second page already has, or second and third page already have this glorious splash page of Best Genus doing what he does, and him actually being able to rope down the the giant. I can never say his name right. And along with all of the League of Villains, I thought it was very, very cool. I love how we see Genus on the side along with like the large splash page. Very, very cool. And, you know, we see everybody trying to still take down Dobby, or as we now know him as, is it Hato? I think Again, the characters. I am such a fake freaking fan with this. So, I will say, names always will confuse me when it comes to, especially such a large title like this. I can't even remember all the X-Men, and I'm a huge fan of the X-Men. But here we see, what is her name? Actually, not the villain, but the person that he takes down is Hato, is part of the big three. Najiri, she, of course, I think it's electricity, or I can't remember entirely what her quirk is, but she is Hato, you know, that's a lot easier to say. Hato is taken down by, of course, Todoroki's brother, who we now know is Dobby, but is also Toya. That's his name, Toya. And, you know, it's crazy the way, like, this art, like, it is absolutely insane how just all out crazy freaking Toriyama can make his art. Like, especially with the way Toya looks here, he looks super villainous and super crazy. I love it. It gives a crazy mood to the series. And, you know, we see that Genus is, you know, he's struggling a little bit. But we have Shigaraki finally wake up, and he gives Makiya a command, because we all know that Makiya cannot do anything unless he is commanded by Shigaraki, and he tells him, destroy. And, you know, Genus is holding him down as best as he can. We see that the Nomu are, you know, making their way towards Makiya and the rest of the villains. And one of them is even trying to hurt one of the sidekicks of freaking, what's her name? Of this, one of the sidekicks of Endeavor. I can't remember her name. I know it has something to do with fire, and I can't remember her name right off the top of my head. But, you know, before anything could happen to her, we jump back to Genus being a badass, holding it, you know, as tight as he can to Makiya. And we see Todoroki and Toya, you know, starting to really use their fire and yell at each other. It's very emotional. And we see Deku. Deku is just like, I can't be the weakling that I was, you know, at the beginning of all this. I can't be the guy that just sits here with the, what does he say? With Float and Black Whip on my side, my busted limbs shouldn't matter at all. And he's like, he's trying to force his body to move. And the last page, guys, the first panel, we see that cute little face in the ground, and we see P-O, and the rest of the word, W-E-R, power! Freaking Lemillion jumps out of the freaking floor, the freaking ground, and is punching everything. And then Deku screams out, Lemillion. Dude, I don't know what the frick happened. I don't know. I just don't know. Is there a cure? My brain is mush. My brain is mush. I need answers. I definitely need answers. And I don't know how, like, please tell me. It says December 6th. Okay, so I don't have to wait too long. I don't have to wait too long. Thank God. Thank God. Because I don't know if they, because what, it was, I think, at the beginning of November where they made us wait for so long or whatever. They made us wait like two weeks, I think. But I just need to know, like, is the fact that he is here, is it because of, hold on. Is it because of Eerie? Like, was she able to turn back time? And if so, like, I want to see, if it is Eerie, I need to see her, like, get emotional again, like, rewind him to having his powers. And then I need to have her grab his cape and then rewind the cape to its, like, full, like, untattered, Like, that's what I need. That will make my heart warm so much, I think it'll burst. I am so excited. Like, you guys don't understand. We have seen so many similarities to Deku and Lemillion. Lemillion to the point of almost having the opposite story of Deku. Having this power and then, you know, not having a quirk. And then Deku, of course, not having a quirk and then having it gifted to him by All Might. Like, it, I am so excited to have my boys back. And they are about to kick some ass, and I am so ready for it. I am so ready for it. I cannot wait until next week. I hope that this ends 2020 in the best way possible with these next few chapters. But with that, we still have two more books. Of course, we have, Phantom Seer and Kaiju number 8. Let's go ahead and jump into those. Ooh, I have the burps. I am so sorry. We're going to jump into Phantom Seer chapter 14 right now. All right. So Phantom Seer chapter 14, this was really fun. Of course we are done for now with the Shinjiroji. We are with Airi and, I thought her name was Riku, but I think that is, I think that's still her name, but she is, she goes by, Abetsu. That's right. Airi and Abetsu are back at school. Airi, you know, he went all out when he was trying to exercise the Shinjiroji. So, you know, he is literally exhausted and he's kind of a lazy kid now. And, you know, we learned that, you know, the arm that he was able to cut off when trying to exercise the Shinjiroji, usually when a phantom is in fact exercised or a piece of them is cut off, it disintegrates. There's nothing left behind. But there was an arm left behind. They're doing some tests on it, and Ms. Yayoi was able to figure out that the arm was human, and so the Shinjiroji has found out how to blend her body or mend her body with a human. So maybe it's a kind of like weird spell that is keeping the Shinjiroji young or more powerful or able to, you know, stay within the realm of the living. I'm not entirely sure. I'm just making all, these are all guesses. These are totally guessing, my guesses for them anyway. And, you know, Abetsu is still trying to like keep his hopes up. You know, they're going to catch her soon and everything else. And even Airi is kind of giving praise to Abetsu for, you know, knowing, you know, the skills that she now knows. And all of a sudden, this woman comes into the room calling Airi senpai. Her name is Tsumuji Komochi, and she is in love with Airi. And Abetsu's like, oh my gosh, she said that like so boldly that she's in love with them. Like, what is going on? And you know, Iori's just like, get off me, get off me, get off me. What the hell is wrong with you? And she goes, well, Airi hates me, but I love him. This means we're both on each other's minds. We have feelings for each other. And Iori's like, I think that's a bit of a reach. Like, calm down, woman. And so she walks away. And I guess Airi is not wanting to be seen by anybody. You know, he's in one of his moods again. And he is in his, what does he call it? His shadow fainter. So he is unable to be seen by humans. But freaking Komochi sees him. She tackles him. You know, says, oh, I of course I noticed you. It's the power of love, you know? And he's freaked out. He's like, what is going on? And basically, we see that freaking Abetsu, sorry, is there. And, you know, Komochi's like, oh, you two hang out a whole lot. Are y'all dating? And Abetsu's like, no, that is not, no, we are not dating at all. And she's like, oh, well, and that's the case. You wouldn't mind if I took him. And she's like, take him wherever you want. I don't care. And Iori's like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, you're supposed to be on my side. I don't want to go anywhere with her. Like, what's going on? And so she takes the time, this alone time that Abetsu now has. She's going to meditate. She's going to use up, you know, some of her training. And we see a dark hand. Like a really, like, visually it looks awesome. And Abetsu, like, you know, she's surprised at this. We see that our Iori gets a phone call. We can assume that it's Abetsu. And we see that it is. It even has, like, a little footnote at the very bottom that is who is calling. He's like, okay, are you sure? Okay, got it. And he turns around to... I just said her name and I already forgot it. Her name is Komochi, either or. And he drops this like oozy black thing onto her shadow. And she's like, what in the world? I can't move. And he's like, good, it works on you. I know someone with really good detection skills. Abetsu, you know, if you didn't know. And according to her, she senses a phantom presence from you. And that last page, the art is so crisp on Komichi, however you want to pronounce it, and Iori. The art looks beautiful. I absolutely love this last page here. And I assumed at the very beginning of this, when we saw that that she could see him with his... while he was basically invisible, I was like, she's got to be a phantom. She's got to be a phantom. But maybe there's only a phantom that is attached to her. And maybe she isn't, you know, a phantom within herself. So we will see. I enjoy this this title with every chapter. The story gets more and more intriguing. I'm loving the... character of Iori. You know, I love his smartassery. I love, like, I can't, like, I have a voice for him in my head. It is basically, who is it? I have recently, I'm trying to remember recently. Okay, so if you guys have seen either Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood or Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball Super, he is the voice of Jocko. And in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, he is the voice of Ling. Yeah, that's the voice that I give Iori. Like, he seems like that kind of character. And more on the Ling side, not Jocko, of course. But yeah, I love this. I love this title. Really, really fun. I didn't think I was going to like it very much because I'm not into scary things, but they do it very well. And it's pretty bright and colorful for it being a black and white. Like, you guys know what I'm saying. It's vibrant is the word that I probably want to use. But, let's go ahead and jump into our last title and last chapter of this week. That being Kaiju number 8, chapter 18. All right, so Kaiju number 8, chapter 18. We open up with, of course, Kafka in his Kaiju form. He has saved, is it, what's his name? What is his name? Ichikawa. Yeah, I was thinking Ichikawa, but I just wanted to make sure. And he kind of says like an offsided joke, you know, just to try to lighten the mood. But he goes all out on, you know, this is the book that he goes all out on, this like freaking crazy humanoid kaiju. And he even shoots, this humanoid kaiju shoots, Kafka, in the chest and in the stomach, in the abdomen. And, you know, he sees it, a little blood trickles out of his mouth, but not too much. And the kaiju's like, oh, I see, you're tougher. In order to kill you, I'll need to go bigger. And, like, freaking the guys that were fighting him are like, holy crap, that dude was just toying with us the entire time. Because we see this kaiju, you know how his like fingers were like blowing up really, really large, and then he was shooting them out very minusculely at their chest and arms and legs. Well, think of like basically like these tentacles coming out of his back now being like, I would say, gosh, I can't even with how tall that dude is, I don't know how to even, like, it's huge. It is huge. It is big. Like, each one of these things that are enlarging to shoot off into him are basically the size of a small car, a smart car. Yeah, I would say. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 of them that I can see. And so they're freaking out. And so Kafka, in his kaiju form, is like, oh, okay, so you've been shooting the hell out of their bodies. Okay, cool. Well, I, you know, now I know what to endure. And he opens up his mouth. And then you see that, like, a little past his mouth, onto where his neck is, starts to open up as well, with teeth. And he just sits there, straight up, arms crossed, and he yells at this giant blast that this kaiju is shooting at him, and it completely blocks it. And before the kaiju could even say anything, Kafka is literally already right at his face. This is like some freaking like DBZ fight. Like, it is about to go down. He is punching this, Kafka is punching this freaking kaiju. This kaiju is like doing whatever he can to make barriers to get as far away as he can to recover. Kafka is not giving him that moment. He goes in really, really close, starts punching him again, and he realizes, okay, your core is in the center. I'm going to need to get to that. And just like the second chapter, his elbow opens up again, because that releases like an extra like boost for his punch, completely destroys this thing. This kaiju even attempts to block it, blocks most of it, keeps himself intact, but the core is in fact exposed. And before Kafka can get the time to destroy him, there are freaking a platoon of the freaking squad that are now going to attack Kafka in his kaiju form. So that's a little irritating. He could have defeated this kaiju easily, but now these guys are gonna probably attack Kafka. So I'm loving this. I love the art. I love the, like, now seeing what it looks like for Kafka to kind of go like all out. Like, I am ready for, like, DBZ-esque fights. Like, I am so down for more of those. I know we probably won't get a lot of that, but because, of course, this whole story is more about Kafka being in this squadron and the confusion that will ensue if anybody finds out that he is a kaiju. So, I'm enjoying this. I really, really love it. And I'm loving the art that this book comes out with every 3 weeks. So, but yeah. But I think that is it, actually. This is an episode that's going to be less than an hour, something we haven't had in quite some time. But yeah, Thank you all for listening. I hope that you did make it this far. If you guys have any recommendations, I do want to start reading other mangas. It is a little bit intimidating with it being with some of these books being so far in. You know, I was reading Black Clover. I stopped. I think I need to jump back into it because that was such a good book. It's been really, really fun. I think I want to jump in on what is that one? The No Luck or Unluck or I think it's Unluck. Yeah, Undead Unluck. I read the first chapter of that. That was hilarious. I want to get into that. So just give me some recommendations and maybe I will do a spotlight every once in a while. But we will see. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will be here next week. Like always, you can find me on Twitter at FanboyClay. Same thing on Instagram. But if you find me on Twitter, go to my bio. I actually have a link tree where you can see all of my other shows, including Comic Book Legion Podcast, the Ranger Alliance, Weird Science Marvel Podcast, and the Batman News Weekly. So go check those out as well. And I will see you guys next week.
You is saying, Otode!